As America has become more diverse, many of its law schools and law firms have followed suit. But some say the pipeline to the judiciary is blocked. White males are overrepresented as state appellate judges by a margin of nearly 2-1. Joining us now is the co-author of a recent study looking at how to make the judiciary more diverse, Chara Torres-Spellacy. We also have a newly appointed judge in Columbus, Ohio, Cam Cocroft. Welcome, Chara. Let me ask you, first of all, why is judicial diversity so important?
Well, the way I look at it is courts are missing out on a vast pool of talent. We also want diversity to increase the legitimacy of the courts in the eyes of an increasingly diverse public. And finally, the jurisprudence may benefit from adding new perspectives that diverse judges can bring to the court.
So, but, you know, is this a degree of political correctness as well? I mean, do we see demonstrated that judges who are women or minorities really make a difference?
I think they do bring a unique perspective. If we look at, for example, the federal judiciary and the Supreme Court, I think you could argue that having Sandra Day O'Connor on the court made a difference in the jurisprudence that came out of her court. She was often the swing vote, and in her absence, we see the difference in what the Roberts Court has, the cases and how they've decided them.
Tell us a little bit about what you found out in your study.
Well, we looked at gender and racial diversity in 10 states that appoint their judges. And one of the things that sort of jumped off the page for us is 4 of the 10 states that we studied had all white Supreme Courts. And those states are Arizona, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Utah. Now, and there's some difference in the demographics in those states. In New Hampshire, you might not be terribly shocked to have an all-white bench because it's a very white state. But when you have a state like Arizona, which is about 40% non-white, having an all-white Supreme Court is a little bit more jarring.
So what is it that you found that's preventing greater diversity in these states?
In part, I think it's that the judicial nominating commissions who are charged with making the short list that goes to the governor, they often don't have a mandate to go out and recruit the way that, say, top law firms in this country recruit. So instead, they wait for the applicant pool to come to them, and judicial openings are sort of odd. Sometimes they occur on very odd cycles because a current judge has died or a current judge has sort of decided for personal reasons to step down. So, you know, the pool of lawyers who could become judges may not even realize that a opening is on the court.
Now, you know, are we talking about, I guess, on a different level? Are we talking about indifference to the issue, or are we talking about at sometimes active bias?
What we think is going on is not active bias, but what cognitive scientists call implicit bias. There's some really outstanding work that's coming out of Harvard where they have basically come to the conclusion that there are these biases that we pick up in childhood. And so if, as a 4-year-old, you thought only white men are judges, many people carry that view into their adulthood without even realizing it. And the other thing that the cognitive scientists have sort of shown us is that if you show people that they have this bias, then they can sort of self-correct it. But when you sort of ignore that it could be a possibility, then you're likely to, you know, even if your whole job is being a judicial nominating commissioner and your job is to diversify your bench, if you sort of have this implicit bias sort of undermining your choices, you may end up appointing white men again and again and again.
Kim Cocroft is on the line from Columbus, Ohio. Kim, tell us about your experience. How did you break through that barrier? How did you get appointed to the bench?
Well, first, thank you for having me this morning. In Ohio, Governor Strickland developed, when he took office in 2007, a recommendation process. It's called the Ohio Judicial Appointment Recommendation Panel. And that what he wanted to do in developing this panel was, as Chara has indicated, open up the possibility of having more diverse candidates apply for judicial vacancies around the state of Ohio. And so that's how I came to apply for the position that I'm going to take on April the 6th. It was an open process. The three criterion that are attendant to this process for applicants are that, first, they must have an ability to serve fairly and impartially. The second is that they must bring a diverse background and perspective to the bench. And then third, they must demonstrate an ability to run successfully for election if they are selected. And so when I saw those criterion, I thought, why not take the chance? And so I decided to apply, and it worked out well.
Now, the governor's received some criticism for appointing you and another young African-American woman to the bench over white men considered to be more experienced. What's your response?
I certainly respect the opinion of those who disagree with Governor Strickland's selection. I think that there's more that goes into being a good judge beyond experience. I think you have to have the right temperament. I think you have to have good analytical skills. And I think it's important that the bench reflect the diversity of litigants that are going to come before our courts. And so while I appreciate those concerns, I think that both Ms. Beatty and myself are qualified and ready to do the job.
Now, this... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, and we'll bring a fresh perspective to the court. So we're excited about the opportunities.
Now, with the election of President Obama and his wife, Michelle, both black lawyers, will that have a galvanizing impact on diversity in the judiciary?
I think for me it has. I think that they were both catalysts for my decision to apply for this position. President Obama and First Lady Obama have hearkened Americans to greater levels of service, and so I think that serving on the judiciary is one of the highest forms of service that a lawyer can undertake. And so I think that as people have more confidence in themselves and see what President and First Lady Obama have accomplished, I think that you're going to start to see a change in the composition of judiciaries across the country.
Thanks very much. Kim Cocroft, as of April 1st, will be a judge in Franklin County Court in Columbus, Ohio. Chara Torres-Spellacy, an attorney at the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU School of Law. Thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.